Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 22nd, 2019. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
You see up there a picture. It's a shadow picture, which means that you're looking at the shadow of something. And that's a very good picture of the entire Old Testament, the time of the Bible written before Jesus was born. It's all about shadows. Because they're always waiting for somebody. Somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. They keep on looking for somebody. Somebody's got to be coming. Someone's coming. That's what it's all about. And when that someone kindly finally came and spilled out into history, that's what we call Christmas. So please now look again at God's word in the form of a movie from Matthew chapter 1.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus.
Christmas is a time when we remember and we remind ourselves and we remind other people and we tell other people that we serve a God who keeps his word. That's a rare commodity nowadays. Keeping your word. The path in life is full of broken promises, painful things that kind of rip away at your feet as you're walking along, rip away at your heart. It's very sad, but we serve a God who keeps his promises. He had promised to bless Adam and Eve. Of course, they disregarded that. They said, "We'd love you," but you know, they threw that all away. And so we get all the pain in the heart that goes along with that, passed on generation to generation. No matter how much I want to make sure that my children have a wonderful life, sin is passed on through me to them. And we live in a sinful world, and the devil does not like God's people and God's word. It looks as if things can't get better. It feels as if things can't get better. But then you go to God's word, and you look at the Gospels. Gospels are those first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you might be wondering, how come there's only four Gospels? God doesn't tell us why there's only four Gospels, but there's something really interesting about those Gospels. Each of them talks about the life of Jesus, Jesus who is the Christ, the Messiah. Christmas time is the time we hear all those words, right? Christ, Messiah, Savior. What do they mean? Christ means anointed one. Messiah means anointed one. Savior means Savior. 39 times the word Messiah appears in the Old Testament. Of the times that the word Messiah appears and God is talking about the coming Son, his Savior, the Savior of the world, of those times, four times have a word in front of them saying, "Behold." One is, "Behold your King." Another is, "Behold the Son." Another one is, "Behold the servant." Another one is, "Behold the man." Another one is, now you see what it is. Some people think that these four Gospels just show exactly what's going on. The "Behold your King," that'd be Matthew. "Behold my servant," that'd be Mark. "Behold the man," that would be Luke. And "Behold your God," that would be John. God wants us to know about himself. So he made sure that these four books are written down about his Messiah. They're not biographies like you and I would call a biography, because they're used to sketch a picture of who the real God is, God in the flesh. Who is he really like? Who is Jesus really like? And when you find out who Jesus really is like, it takes your breath away. And I pray that whenever you read the Gospels, it just takes your breath away. The God who created the planet walks on the planet. The God who creates life knit himself together in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The God who has all power in heaven and on earth puts himself in a situation where he is poor, where he is humble, where he is under the authority of a Roman government that hates the true God. And when you look at that, and then you come to the Gospel of John, starts out, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." From beginning to end, it is all about Jesus. And those four books give you a little picture of what is it like, God in sandals walking on the earth. Doesn't come like a king would come. Doesn't come at all like a king would come. He's kind of almost missed by everybody because they're so busy with their lives, they forget who it is that's coming, the Messiah. So we know what it's like for those people who don't know Jesus. Okay, I got that. And it's really busy. Okay, I got that too. But what about you and I? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm assuming since you came here this morning that that's what you are. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't we sometimes have a nagging doubt that, man, life should be different for me? It should be a little bit smoother for me. You know, I'm doing all the right things. I'm still getting all sorts of headaches. It should be a little bit better for me. You know, I am a believer. Yeah, we all have a sinful nature that's still all about me, me, me. And God said, you know what? It's not about you. It's not about you, Pastor. It's not about you, people. It's about who the Lord is and what he has done to rescue me and to rescue you. God came into a world that he created, and people mocked him because he didn't believe he was who he said he was. He spent 30 years on this planet, 33 maybe, about 33. 3 years of a public ministry. And during those 3 years, from morning till night, it sounds like he was doing nothing but preaching and teaching and healing people. So he would raise the dead. He'd raise the sick. He'd make sure that everyone was okay as far as he could. Even if they were hungry and missed lunch, he would provide lunch for over 5,000 people. Wow. He proved he was the true God. And Matthew, where our text is from today, it's a long way to get around there, but Matthew, that he alone has the credentials to be the King of Kings. He takes us back to how he was born. God kept his word. It looked like God couldn't. How could Mary have a baby? It's impossible, biologically impossible. They're living not in Bethlehem. How could they possibly be moved to Nazareth? Well, God is in control of everything, and he puts the idea to count everybody on the planet into the Roman emperor's brain. Do you see how powerful our God is? How wise he is? How quietly God has all the details covered? You and I might think we're going through life and it's one happenstance after another, but God says in his word, I have it all covered, and you, my people, are incredibly blessed. And I know for the moment, it doesn't look like that. For Mary, think about this. She was the most honored person in history. God chose her to give birth to his son. He worked in her a remarkable faith. And what happens? She's born into a culture and in a time where if you were pregnant out of wedlock, you were stoned to death. If you somehow found a way to escape that death sentence, well, then you had to live a life of shame. People always talking about you behind your back. Oh, there's that person. That's how she was going, bearing God's son. She knew the truth, and the people around her did not. So what did she do? Did she go whining and complaining to God? No, she said, Lord, I am your servant. Let it be to me just like you said. Now, you and I have a hard time with that. We have a hard time just doing what God wants us to do. We have a letter that I found this letter. It was not recently. I put it in here just to make sure I would make sure I read it. It's a letter that was written by a Christian in the first century. A remarkable letter. It's written by a guy who he tells people that he was on an assignment and carrying out his duties to make sure that people would know the truth. And his main duty was to make sure that Christians would know that truth well and tell somebody that. And listen to what he says. The Holy Scripture holds the promises of the good news reported by the prophets. The good news is about God's Son. His ancestry from David roots him in history. His unique identity as Son of God was displayed by the Spirit when Jesus was raised from the dead and setting him apart as the Messiah, our Savior and Lord. So it points out that we're saved in this letter that I found, but it's not just I am saved from something. I am saved for something. I'm not just saved from a sure and certain death. I am saved for a life of living for Jesus Christ. And how does that show? Well, when you are being kind to someone and they think that you're just trying to slip something to them and do them dirt, do yourself. The Lord says, be kind anyway. When your enemy makes fun of you for praying for them, pray for them anyway. When you feel that you just can't do another good thing because you're just getting no positive feedback whatsoever, the Lord says, keep on doing good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. He knows it's hard. He knows it's difficult. Jesus knows that very well. He never did a single thing wrong. They always twisted his words. He always wanted the best for people, and they always said, oh, no, you don't. You're trying to slip something past us. And when he was dying on the cross, they spit on him and made fun of him, and he prayed for them. Not a mouth prayer, a prayer to his Heavenly Father forgive them. This letter went on and said this. Through Jesus, we receive both the generous gift of his life and the urgent task of passing it on to others who receive it by entering into obedient trust in Jesus. You are who you are through this gift, the call of Jesus Christ. God has gathered us in his generous mercies to wash us clean of all sin, to strengthen our faith, to encourage us in life, to live in such a way that others see that we are the living children of the living God, the God who keeps his word. God keeps his word. I have no doubt at all about that. If your sin is troubling you and the memory of a past sin is troubling you, you need to hear again and again and again, God has forgiven you for Jesus' sake. If you're saying, well, yeah, but God loves this other person more than me, you need to understand that God so loved the world and you are part of that world, that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If you're wondering, does God really know what's going on? Does God really care? Go back again and again to the book of Matthew, where God lays out all the credentials. This is the Messiah. I want you to behold him. Take note of him, God in the flesh. For Jesus' sake, my dear friends, let's continue to read and listen and hear and trust and obey what God says in his word. In his name, amen. And now may God's peace, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in case you want to know, this letter is not in here. It's in your Bible, the book of Romans, where Paul looks back to this event of Matthew, and he's just amazed that God would choose to be present here among us. In his name, amen.